It's time.
It's time.
It's time. It's time.
It's time.
Time.
It's time.
Time to think about the things that you otherwise wouldn't say. Lucky for us, these two will say anything.
Come on!
It's time for The Fawcast with Chris Williams and Mark Charter. The Fawcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Why pay 7% to list your home? Choose the flexible 5 or 6% plan for you at charterhouseiowa.com. Hear more from Mark following this episode.
Listen very carefully.
Shall we do this then?
No, just take it one time.
An audio experience unlike any other starts now.
July 20th, it's podcast time. No special guest today. Mark and I are just going to kick it old school. And we're actually going to get to some college football gambling. Tis the season. We're going to do that here in just a little bit. We're recording. I had to go and shower. I played in the Cyclone Gridiron Club golf outing today.
You had soggy underpants, didn't you?
Soggy underpants would be an understatement.
The ass sweat was rampant.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure was. So I also made another, see if you've ever had anything like this happen to you before. Because it's insanely hot out. Everybody
100
knows.
Degrees, apparently.
Yeah, just gross. And I'm like, man, I don't want to wear like normal shorts. I want to wear as light of shorts as possible.
Yeah.
So I got these like Columbia fishing shorts that I've had for probably 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Split down the back when I squatted to... like, look at a putt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you hear it?
No. I didn't know it.
You felt the breeze?
The guys I was – so I was teeing off, and one of the guys was like, oh, my God, dude, your pants are split in the back.
Yeah.
Which I was okay with it because I had, like, boxers on anyways.
But not a lot of girls out there at that event either, usually.
Well, I really didn't – if anybody's pants are going to split,
yeah,
I'd just prefer it be me.
Yeah.
Because I don't really get embarrassed by that.
Yeah.
But it was still, it could have been a bad situation. Like, what if girls were there?
I like when we're doing the podcast right during breaking news, too, because we're about to find out if the juice is loose.
We should find out as we record this podcast.
So, O.J. Simpson right now, he is in his parole hearing. That part's done. The board members are now deliberating. There's four people. The way this works in Nevada, apparently, is all four need to agree that the juice will be loose, apparently as early as October 1. Here's what's weird, though. If they don't unanimously agree, they call two more people to vote. But a 50-50 tie, 3-3, means it's denied. So if they were 3-1 against releasing him, why would they, you know, it could still end up 50-50 that way. I mean, it's either 4-0 or it seems like an odd process because it has to be, you couldn't get more than 50% to say yes under a certain scenario. So I don't know. But what's your opinion on the juice? Is it time for time to set him free?
What's my opinion on the juice is kind of a loaded question.
Should he be released from prison for this crime?
Probably. Based off of what I know.
Yeah. He's 70 years old.
Clearly don't know everything, but he's supposedly been very good boy in prison.
We can only hope his double homicide days are behind him.
Well, so that's like you asked, should he be released? And yeah, he probably, it sounds like he will.
Yeah.
And we'll probably find out as we record this. But like part of this is just like, oh, it's karma too.
It's going like to help him.
You killed those people, so.
Yeah, he did serve some time.
Yeah.
The quote from, I'm on CNN here, just in honor of my liberal friends. He's a good man. The robbery victim says. This is the dude that he stole the stuff from.
I didn't know that computer could be on anything but Drudge.
Yeah, no, I had to install a special filter to get CNN to pop up. But I'm on there. So, so we'll see. Maybe that will break while we're doing this. It's quite possible.
Well, I'll try and get this uploaded as quickly as possible after the program so we're not too dated.
That sounds fair.
Yeah.
So how did you shoot today, by the way? Not well. You don't want to talk about it?
Okay, but I don't really play golf anymore.
Yeah.
Not really by choice. I just don't have time. And so the last three times, or before today, the two times prior, I have won championships.
At this event or any of them?
No, so at the Iowa State Athletics event.
Because does this one, this is the Gridiron Club event, does this bring out some good talent? The old jocks and stuff come out for this one?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so good talent.
Yeah, like your neighbors and all those boys will be out there. Yeah.
I think we're watching the TV here. I think it's O.J. Simpson learns fate from parole board. I think they're announcing it right now.
Yeah,
this is fascinating.
I'm going to pause it and we'll just come back.
Okay.
We're going to pause the podcast. I'll be right back. Sorry about the delay, everybody. I know that these podcasts are on demand and whatnot, but, you know, we're actually recording it in real time when we do it. We wanted to watch that. The juice is loose.
The juice is officially loose.
4-0.
4-0 verdict. I believe I read earlier October 1 would be the soonest that he would get out.
Why don't they just let him out tomorrow? Like, what's the...
You know, I've never been a prisoner. I think they have rules as far as how they have to do these things.
Well, like in Shawshank, Morgan Freeman just walked out.
That was probably for the timing of the movie. It made it look like it was within seconds of him being
like,
released.
Yeah, you're out. See you, Morgan.
Go ahead, Sonny, and stamp your forms and quit wasting my time. That's what he says.
I was watching a thing last night where, like, all the guys wanted to be OJ's prison mate.
Yeah.
Because he had money funneling in.
Yeah.
And he'd buy them stuff if they, like, waited on him.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have to, like, clean his toilet and do that type of thing.
So we were watching this, we got to feel old, by the way. Do you remember the exact date of the murders?
No, it was, like, in June, wasn't it?
June 12th, 1994.
Okay.
You know what that happened to also be?
June 12th?
Yeah.
1994. No.
That was roughly 20 days. Yeah, 20 days before Katie Kendall was born, who's sitting next to us, yeah. And she's kind of asking, like,
who's OJ?
Who's OJ?
I don't even know who this guy is.
He's only, you know, the most famous murder trial of all time, right?
You really should, Katie, watch the 6-part ESPN
deal. Oh, it's great.
Even if you don't have any interest in it,
it's great.
You will be interested.
She's not on here, by the way, to defend herself. She's just kind of off.
Well, there's no defense to make. She didn't know it, like.
She said, is he kind of a football guy?
Well.
Kind of a football guy?
Well.
Like, this is kind of a podcast? Come on. Now?
Come on.
So, for all you OJ fans out there, great day for you. Great day.
Who, like, who's an OJ fan?
So, here's the question to me. I was having this conversation with a buddy earlier. OJ is, he is infamous at this point. He's still famous, but also infamous, notorious, whatever. Totally different circumstances.
He is iconic.
Totally different circumstances
not in a
here.
Great way.
But it reminds me because of somewhat of a nefarious past. When I'm out in Vegas in October, I'm interested in going to see if I can track down Pete Rose because he's out there often signing autographs. And I'd go meet Pete, and he'll sign whatever you ask him to sign, basically.
For a price.
Yeah. So,
which I'm okay with.
OJ Simpson probably after this is going to try to generate some income, I would assume. And probably do something similar to that. Would you go up and shake OJ's hand and, you know, get an autograph or have a beer with him or anything? And if the answer is no, which it seems like it is, then it's because you believe he murdered a couple people.
Yeah, I absolutely believe he murdered two people.
Yeah.
And I believe that before that he was a notorious wife beater, and I believe that he took advantage of many things. And I don't think he was a good person. Not only did he murder them, he heinously murdered them.
What if he offered you a free signed O.J. Simpson Buffalo Bills jersey? Would you put that in your basement? That's a quality item right there.
I don't think that I would, honestly. Because then you're like glorifying a person who you believe to be a murderer.
Or
like, so I don't think I could.
Or are
that.
You glorifying a Hall of Fame football career? You can make that argument.
Yeah, but I think that they're two of the same anymore.
Yeah,
I don't think you can talk about OJ the football player without talking about OJ the murderer. Can you? Can you? Maybe I'm wrong here.
It's separating private life from what they do for a living.
Yeah, but I mean, is it really private life when you're out murdering people? Isn't that the public's problem too? I mean,
yeah.
I don't think that's private. Like, if you're beating the hell out of your wife, it may be in your house, but it's not private. That's a problem that anybody would have the right to go in and kick your ass. That's how I look at it, at least.
Kick his ass, Seabass.
I mean, it's private, but it's illegal, and it's a... I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here.
No, I don't think you are.
I can't separate the football player from the murderer. I can't.
So the fact that he was acquitted does nothing for you?
No.
No. I wonder what the percentage of podcast listeners believe that he did it. I would say it's probably 99%.
Do you want me to put up a Twitter poll right now?
Do it.
I'll just put it on my personal one.
The problem with polls like that is you're always going to get the contrarians that are just like, they think he did it, but they're going to say that he didn't do it just to like make it. Because no poll's ever going to be 100%, you know, one way.
What do you think? Do you think he did it?
No, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. There's no plausible explanation for anybody else. So I do think it wasn't a documentary, but the OJ 6-part series that was that FX that did that, which was great,
well,
by the way.
The FX one was like the fiction, the one with actors and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Are you talking about the ESPN version of this?
Yeah, yeah.
The amount of things that the prosecution screwed up in that case was unbelievable, and not just the prosecution, but the investigators, the people that were there at the crime scene, not wearing gloves and, you know, all that type of stuff. It was rookie day out there or something. I'm not shocked that he was found innocent, frankly. But anyway, so if you have an O.J. Simpson jersey, today would be a good day to wear it because the juice is, in fact, loose.
Okay, I just tweeted this poll.
Okay.
I'm anxious to see. We'll have a good hefty amount of votes before we're done with
You're going to get the typical grays out there, though, that are like...
Yeah, Adam Gray would probably be sitting here defending OJ.
He's a contrarian. He dislikes to be. That's what he gets off on, for sure.
So anyways, I ripped my pants golfing.
The longest tangent ever. Like off track from what we're talking about. Like, why are you talking about OJ Simpson? Well, he was on the TV.
So the two tournaments prior to that, I had won championships.
Yeah.
The Iowa State one and then the Catch Des Moines one. This year.
Now, you must have had a couple ringers on these teams.
Actually, the Catch Des Moines one, we did not have a ringer. We were all just like.
You were all on.
Average to good golfers, and we hit putts when we needed to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you're going to win today, and the only reason I say that is regardless
we're
of your score.
We're not winning today. I heard Olson's out.
Yeah, our good buddy John Olson's playing.
No,
so.
We didn't hit enough putts down. I think we finished at 13 under or 12 under or something like that. That won't be enough to win that.
John will be – well, I have no idea who's on his team at all, and that does matter. But somebody like John should be, I don't know, at least 16 under and something like that.
Correct.
You know, if not more, if they make some putts.
It's so hot out, though, it's not fun.
Oh, it's like soup out.
I don't even want to
– It's soup, and it's not the good-tasting kind of soup. It's just – you just don't – do you ever have days where you just, like, you want to go home – and maybe lay on like a cold bed that hasn't been laid in all day and nothing but your underpants.
Yeah, I want to do that right now.
And just lay in front of a fan.
Do I have to have underpants on?
No, I mean, if you're by yourself, feel free to take it all off. But it's just, you know, there's a lady in the room, so I wanted to keep it PG.
Please. Please.
Please. You know, young ears, as people say.
I just got back from Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah, tell me about that.
It's an interesting deal.
Okay.
These media days are.
Yeah.
They, because what's interesting to me, it's like, how do I make this interesting for fans?
Yeah. Because it's a lot of coach speak.
Correct.
Nothing really exciting happening.
The good thing for me is our readers are the diehards.
Yeah.
So, like, I can do an update on. Like, I'm working on a piece right now where Matt Campbell's very optimistic about linebackers.
Sure.
That's a piece that Cyclone Fanatic people will read, and they will eat it up, and they will love it.
Yeah.
If you write for, like, the Register, it's more like,
– not so much.
I don't know. I don't know if I could do that.
I was going to ask you, too, because
– it's I don't know.
You mentioned something I never did see the video on. I think it was you. Somebody mentioned it. Maybe it was Tommy. I'm not sure. But it was some old dude was grilling Cliff Kingsbury about the defense side.
Yeah.
What was the line of questioning?
He goes, I'm paraphrasing it. Yeah. He goes, Cliff, you're a great coach, and this is a really good league. But there's, by my count, there's 5,000 kids who play defense here in the state of Texas, and you're out recruiting in other states, and I don't understand why you can't recruit kids to hold your opponent under 30 points. And that, I mean, that's all I got for you. He didn't even ask a question.
It was more of a statement.
Yeah, he just verbally attacked Cliff Kingsbury. And not only, did he do it, but he did it when Cliff was on, the big stage, live television.
Yeah, yeah. How did he handle it? What did he say?
Cliff laughed at him.
Yeah.
And basically said, if I knew the answer, we wouldn't be giving up that many points.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of people do say it's because of the offense. It's directly related to the offense.
Well, it is.
It's three and outs. It's the defense is tired.
I agree. I mean, listen, do they play good defense? No.
No, terrible.
They obviously
do. Terrible.
Don't. However.
I like Iowa State, and we scored 66 against them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
They're really bad defensively. But when you are playing what that old guy has probably no clue is time of possession and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he does when that guy was in his heyday or whatever. Yeah. I don't even know who he was. I do know he tripped in front of me the next day. He almost fell.
So this was a legit media member. This wasn't open to the public to come in. And
this was – okay. He was a media member. Legit media member, I don't know if I could go that – I don't know how he got in the room.
Yeah.
I was talking with Keith Murphy about that because I immediately texted Murph. I'm like, you got to get this audio for your show. It's phenomenal.
How many media roughly were there at this event?
Probably a couple hundred.
Couple hundred. How many there were down there from the state of Iowa?
You had me, Tommy and Randy, Dylan from the Gazette, and Alex Halstead.
Okay.
So five.
Okay.
So four outlets from five people, four outlets.
Yeah.
The Ames Tribune didn't even go this year.
Is it?
Which isn't Hines' fault.
Is it fun? Do you like doing it?
I do because that's the part of the job that I love is writing and talking to people. And I did some, I don't know if you heard the podcast I did with Joel Klatt and Bruce.
Yeah.
Feldman
I heard that.
And I love talking with people and learning and studying. And that's what I got into this for. And when I'm back here, it's I'm doing so much other stuff.
Well, that's the key too. You got to talk to other people because you can go up and talk to coaches here.
Correct. I mean,
you don't need to go to Dallas to do that.
Yeah. You go to Dallas so you can talk to Bruce Feldman and you can, I mean, I'm never going to be one-on-one with Joel Klatt like that again.
Yeah.
It's a one time a year type of deal.
Did you walk away with any type of consensus? I know we're going to talk about some over-unders here in a second, but any type of consensus about Iowa State? Do you pick up a vibe when you're in a place like that?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you do. There's
I assume people think we're on the uptick and we're getting better.
They do. What's interesting is the way that the national media kind of feels about Iowa State. Not necessarily – when I say national, I mean not our media.
Yeah.
So it could be a Texas newspaper or whatever. Is I think that the one thing they are looking at is the amount of close games from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, Klatt said it well in my interview with him, you've got to lose – bad, which they did early.
Yeah.
You and I was a bad loss.
Yeah. And then lose close.
Then you lose close, and then all of a sudden you win some games, and they won two of their last three.
Yeah.
So, if you go by that, they're right on pace to start winning some football games. And that's what people were focusing on, I think, with Iowa State. And it's hard to, think about it. If you're a writer in Lubbock, Texas, or Waco, Texas, really pick Iowa State to do much. You haven't seen them do anything for a really long time.
What was the talk or questions that you heard pertaining to Baylor?
Standard that what you would expect.
Okay.
Culture change. I mean, he's a pretty sharp guy.
Yeah.
That was one of my biggest takeaways is, so I actually picked Iowa State to finish ahead of Baylor this year. My ballot was all screwed up compared to everybody else. I'm a little bit rogue on it this year, I think. But they don't have any depth. They have a ton of distractions still.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Jimmy Johnson in his prime could coach that team to the way to the standard that Bryles
is. It
did.
Still possible? I haven't been following it closely, but is it still possible that at some point, not a death penalty, but are they going to face a significant punishment for everything that's happened? I mean, is that still possible to come?
I think so. I think what they're doing. I don't think the NCAA or the Big 12 can do anything right now until all the legal stuff is done.
Yeah.
Because what they did last time, like with Penn State, the NCAA acted very swiftly.
Yeah.
Like quickly.
Yeah.
But the problem is the NCAA doesn't have subpoena power to prove things.
Yeah.
So what I think they're waiting on with Baylor, if they do anything, is they're going to let all these cases go to court. And then they can use the court documents to make their case against Baylor for any sort of a penalty. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It would have been sweet if that same cowboy had gotten up, talked to the Baylor coach. First thing you got to do is quit the raping. Get rid of that. Focus on some football. Did I get the accent pretty close?
It was honestly, it's like they let some, you know, like cattle herder from Lubbock into the media thing. And hey, you want to ask Cliff a question? Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you get it?
If you could ask Matt Campbell one question.
Yeah.
On the stand, what would you ask?
I'd ask him about his choice of real estate agents. That's what I would ask him.
Did he use that gal?
I don't know.
From up there?
You're tight with him.
I'm not going to ask him about his real estate world. You know, I have heard.
That's what friends do.
I have heard, though. I was with some former coaches who are no longer in Ames a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she got brought up.
Ooh.
That gal did.
Yeah.
Apparently, she had a hard time selling one of the homes.
Well, those homes get expensive, right?
I always wonder about the real estate. So, like, let's say that you're very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And your house is bigger than 98% of the society around can afford.
Yep.
How hard is it to sell that house? What do you do?
It becomes extremely difficult. That's the answer to this.
Because, like, the Hoiberg deal, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was a big deal because I saw people on Fanatic like, well, Fred's house is still for sale and all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that did sell.
His house wasn't even that gaudy, though. Like, I've been there.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not knocking Fred and his former residence because I've seen Fred's new residence in Chicago, and that's pretty kick-ass. But Fred's was over $1 million in Ames, and I think it had vinyl siding and some things that surprised me as an agent.
It seemed very normal. Nothing super good
about it, right? Good house, good location, all of that.
Really
don't get me wrong.
Cool backyard, like with a basketball.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was a bad house, but the reality is, too, you see houses occasionally in the metro area that come up for, there's several now. They're $2 million plus, $2 million, $2.5 million. There's been stuff before that's closer to $4 million. I mean, these are obviously mansions, et cetera. Those are extremely tough to sell. I think there were 10 houses last year in the metro area that sold for over $1 million, and almost all of them were between $1 million and $1.1 million. So when you start to get above that, it sits. I mean, people ask me all the time, when you like to list some of these higher-end things? You know, if someone called and said, Mark, we want you to list our house, and I thought it was a good opportunity, I would do it. But you don't take on a listing like that thinking, there's my next paycheck.
Yeah.
Because that might be a year or more away or never.
What are most of those million-dollar homes in West Des Moines, too?
A lot of them. Glen Oaks, obviously. Yeah, but they're kind of every community. You could go anywhere. Like, there's one for sale on the market that's over $2 million that's in Elkhart.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's kind of in the wooded area over by Elkhart.
Over $2
million? It's over $2 million. I'll look it up as we're talking to see if it's still on the market to give you an exact number here. But
how could anything be worth that much money in Elkhart? Like,
it's huge.
Is there a lot of land?
Oh, yeah. I think there's land, too, but it's a huge house. Let me see if I can pull this up here. People might be interested in this. Real estate's a fascinating topic, I think, because it applies to almost everybody. It's really one of those things where people either want to buy it or wish they could buy it or whatever the case may be. So
I usually fall in the wish they could buy it range.
So just as an example, I'm on the Des Moines MLS right now. I looked up houses from $1 million to $3 million. There are 25 out there right now.
Wow.
Yeah, so big houses have become much, much, much more
popular.
Like,
who buys those? Doctors? Do they buy a million-dollar home usually?
Doctors, lawyers, business owners. Those are going to be your main ones. you know, entrepreneurs start a business, make a crap load of money. The most expensive house right now. Oh, here's the one. No, I was wrong, dude. The most expensive house in the market right now in the Des Moines metro area is the one in Elkhart. It's $3.5 million. Jeez. The above ground square footage is 10,666 square feet.
Do you know who used to live there?
Well, it's definitely a public record, so I don't mind saying it. Mark Minadu is his name.
I don't really
who is a physician, I believe.
So yeah. A doctor.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, yeah, it's right here. Man, it says his name.
Really glad I got into sports writing.
Want to know the taxes on that baby?
No.
$56,800 a year.
What would that be in, like, Ankeny?
More. More.
Because
70,
Elkhart's
70.
Got it. Oh, okay. That's not
probably
that much more.
I mean, it would be significantly
I was thinking
more.
Close to double.
Yeah, it'd be significantly more. So if you're in the market for a $3.5 million mansion in Elkhart, give me a call. I'd love to help you. I mean, it's a gorgeous house, and it is on 23 acres.
Okay.
That helps.
Yeah.
So you got a little privacy between you and the neighbors.
I still wish that I had an opportunity when I was right out of college, and I had moved back home. And a lot of people listening to this will laugh at it because of what house prices are.
Yep.
Here, but there was this really cool house with a pasture in the backyard, and it's exactly what I always kind of wanted. Tiny little house, like a two-bedroom,
mm-hmm.
but it had a big shed and like cornfields all around it. It was perfect, yep. out in the middle of nowhere. And I remember they wanted $86,000 for it.
Hmm. Huge money.
And I was just like, my God, trying to rip me off.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, and I should have done it because that was in 2008.
Life is all about perspective.
Like, yeah. Well,
put this in perspective.
But I was 23 or whatever.
So this isn't meant to brag. This is something to bring up because it sucks. We have Consumers Energy. I posted this on Facebook the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Consumers Energy. We don't get Mid-American. Where we live in Ankeny, there's part of Ankeny that gets Consumers, which is based out of Marshalltown, some small co-op, whatever. And I've called them, and they said literally that what we pay is about twice what someone would pay for Mid-American for no reason other than it's just much more expensive. So we're just stuck with it. So I was telling my wife the other day because we got our electric bill. It's just electric, not gas, just electric. Our last bill, I think, was $417. So in the summertime, when we're in the air conditioning, it gets super expensive. That one utility bill is more than I paid for a month's rent in college. $300 is what I paid when I lived at Sterling University at Iowa State. $300.
Yeah.
It makes you sick.
Yeah.
When you think about it. I mean, yes, we want air conditioning, but we don't want to pay out the butt for it. So $400 for one
bill. So why won't Mid-American serve that area?
Because Consumers is obviously making money. Honest, because of what they're charging. And
well,
apparently,
it's all supply and demand. Like, they know you don't have an option.
But the reason I think they want to keep it is because they own ground in Ankeny that's not developed yet, but will be. So they know they're sitting on a lot more potential future customers, and they're not – why give it up? They don't have to. So, and it's ironic because Consumers provides electrical to the city course of Ankeny. You know, they're getting hosed, too, because Otter Creek is right by my house, and the clubhouse there would be on Consumers, too. So they're taking it in the shorts. If you think of anybody wanting to change, it'd be the city of Ankeny, right?
Yeah.
And these customers that don't like it, but apparently there's nothing they can do. I talked to my good friend, Jack Whitford, about this. You know, he's a man of stature in the state. And said, is there anything we can do?
Because powerful man.
He's in the same neighborhood I am, and he's like, nope. Basically nothing. We're stuck.
Sue him or anything?
Well, it seems like it's kind of boring on price gouging, honestly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah. Do I want to be the one to lead that lawsuit? No, I don't. But how can something be double for the same thing? I don't know. I really don't know. But it's just people say, well, I guess you could move. So there's the solution. I have to move.
Let's move to Bondurant.
Yeah. Who do you have over there? Is it Mid-American?
Yeah, we're Mid-American.
Yeah. So anyway. That's
very happy with their service.
My complaint of the day.
That's some good real estate talk, too. Look at us.
Look at us go. We don't have one after the podcast today, so that's it, man.
You want to do some over-unders?
Sure.
Let's just go through these over-unders that were released early in the week. Now, none of these are a big surprise to me because already seen a bunch of the over-unders, but now they're, like, official from Vegas. We'll start with you. Did anything stand out to you?
I don't know if anything jumped out as a must bet. A couple of things of note. I think Clemson's a little high. They're 9.5. Yes, they're the national champion, but they just lost a ton of guys. They have a good defense coming back, but their offense lost kind of everybody.
Clemson has to play Auburn in the non-con too.
Yeah, so,
which is interesting.
So if I had to bet on Clemson, I'd go under. That was one that jumped out. Ohio State's at 10.5. Ohio State gets Oklahoma this year. But most of their tough games are at home.
I take the over.
I think I would too. You know, 10 wins is a strong season, but it's Urban Meyer. I think they're going to do that.
They're my national title pick, by the way.
Are they?
Yeah.
I think Iowa doesn't get to 6.5, so I would go under with them. I see a 6-win season.
You're taking them at a plus 110 too, so you're getting some odds.
There. Yeah, so I'd go under with them. And Iowa State, honestly, so two more. Iowa State, I would take over.
I would take the over with Iowa State.
I'd take them over by only a half game.
Yeah,
but I would still, you know, that's a bowl game. That's 6 wins.
You're getting plus 120.
And the other one I think I would take solely because of personnel. Again, it's somewhat of a tough schedule. USC has, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the country. They're 9.5. I think USC can get 10 wins this year.
So what's interesting about USC is they're at 9.5 for their number. And right now, if you pick a national title winner, they're like the fourth strongest candidate.
Are they?
Yeah.
Some of that's history, though. I mean, I assume that Ohio State, Bama, who would be the third this year that's in there?
Bama.
Not Michigan yet.
Florida State. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. I mean, USC, are you with me on that one? Darnold's great.
I don't know, Mark. I was just going to say I like Washington better than I like USC because of Chris Peterson.
Washington's at 10.
Yeah, and I just saw that they're at 10.
Jeez. I mean, Bama's only at 10-5. Something like Bama, though. Look at their history. How many games have they won each of the last 4 years?
If you just bet Bama in the over every year, I mean, you're going to win more often than you lose.
Yeah.
As long as Saban's there. Let's look at the Big 12. I'm going to go through and give you my picks for every team in the Big 12.
All right, Big 12. You got Oklahoma at 9.5 leading the pack. Obviously, a brand new coach. So there is unknowns. I know the players aren't changing, but the coaches.
I'll take the under.
Okay.
Because they're going to lose to Ohio State, and then they will lose 2 games in the Big 12.
Could. Yeah. And the Oklahoma State game is always a toss-up in that series, too. That alone.
And then I would take the over at 9 for Oklahoma State.
Okay.
I think they'll win the league.
Their quarterback's back.
He's really good.
What's his name?
Mason Rudolph.
Yeah. The biggest unknown, I think, of all of them is Baylor, 7.5.
Let's look at their schedule real quick.
Iowa State is at Baylor this year, unfortunately.
Okay, Baylor.
I think.
Baylor will have the classic just garbage non-con because you know it's coming.
They usually start 4-0 with ease.
Liberty, Texas, San Antonio, and then they're actually at Duke.
They'll win that game, though. Duke doesn't have the offense to keep up.
Duke's not bad.
Yeah, but, Duke's at 5-5.
Duke's at 5-5
right now.
So Duke's going to be down this year?
Yeah, Duke's at 5.5.
Okay, so we'll give them 3-0. They'll lose to Oklahoma. They'll lose at Kansas State. They'll lose at Oklahoma State. So I have them starting 3-3.
Yeah. Iowa State can hopefully get them, but it's still, if it's at Baylor, that's a tough game.
I'm taking the under. They're going to lose at TCU on the final week, and then I bet they'll lose to either West Virginia or Texas, one of the two. And maybe I'm going to take the under.
Okay.
Pretty confidently, actually. I like the under there a lot.
The other big story in the Big 12 this year is going to be Texas. What do they do?
7.5 for Hook'em Horns.
Yep.
Let's run through that schedule.
A lot of talent.
Tom Herman's a sexy hire. People excited about him.
Yep.
Okay, so they've got Maryland and San Jose State. They start 2-0, and then they lose at USC.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State, according to Vegas, is basically a toss-up. Texas currently a 2-point favorite in that one.
Wow.
Or like a 3-point favorite.
Is that in Ames?
That is in Ames on a Thursday night, September 28th.
Okay.
Well, let's say they win that, okay?
Yep.
So they're going to start 3-1. I have them losing to Kansas State, I think, 3-2. Losing to Oklahoma, losing to Oklahoma State. So that's a 3-4 start. Then they got to go at Baylor, at TCU.
Toss-up games, maybe. Depends how good they are at the point, at that point in the season.
They've got road games at Iowa State, Oklahoma, Baylor, TCU, and West Virginia.
That's tough.
I'll put them at 7 wins.
All right, that's an under from Chris Williams.
I had them 5th in my ballot, so that would match up pretty accurately.
West Virginia at 7 games.
I never know with them.
Yeah, they are the epitome of an up and down team.
I never know with them.
Every week is different.
Let's see what they're doing here as far as their non-con goes. So they got to go to Virginia Tech.
Okay, could be a definite loss there. I mean, it won't be definite, but it could be. While you're doing that, Iowa State's at 5.5. We both think they're going to win at least 6. Texas Tech is at 5.5. If they don't win more than that, Cliff Kingsbury's out of a job.
So I found 5 really confident wins for
West Virginia.
I've got them beating East Carolina, Delaware State, Kansas, Texas Tech, and Iowa State.
Okay.
So then they would have to steal 3 at TCU, at Baylor. I'll give them at Baylor.
Okay.
So there's 6.
That's a tough road.
Nope. Probably take the under.
I mean, they got to win 8 to win money.
Yeah, I don't think I'd bet that.
You know, 7 pointless is to push. So you're saying they either win 8 games or they don't. If they don't, you're betting the under.
Yeah, I think I'd take the under.
All right. Texas Tech at 5.5. Does Cliff Kingsbury keep his job?
No.
So he's gone. Kansas, 3.
I made money on Kansas last year because I took
the
over.
They were 2, weren't they?
I took 1.5.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm like, all they have to do is win 2 games.
What's their non-con?
So they have Southeast Missouri State.
All right, there's 1 win.
Central Michigan at home.
Chippewa's got a new coach.
What's the Chippewa's number? See a number on there for them?
Let me look here. Western.
I'm going to take the Kansas over again.
Central, 6.5.
So Kansas just has to win 3?
3 would be a push.
So they're going to start 2-0, maybe 3-0 at Ohio. I've got them starting 3-0, okay?
Yeah, Ohio could beat them, but yeah, okay.
They could.
Yeah.
But then they get Texas Tech at home. They get Baylor at home late in the year. I mean, this is a team, remember when they beat Texas last year?
Yeah, yeah.
So I like that play. In fact, that might be my favorite Big 12 play. Because
if you get them late in the year and another team's not having a great season and they have to go to Kansas, they don't care.
They don't give a crap.
I mean, you got stands that aren't even half full. You know, it's just – and if you get the Kansas players fired up, it reminds me of every time – it makes me sick because 2 years ago I bet this game when I was out in Vegas – Iowa State at Kansas, and we came out and looked like crap.
That was
it was like 28-0, wasn't it, at some point?
I mean, in my opinion, maybe the low point of the Rhodes era.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. Same weekend that Iowa got pounded by Minnesota. I remember these things because I bet on them and lost money on both. Yeah. Total crap. But at least we're both.
I like that, Mark.
You're going KU. You feel 3 safe, and 3 is your money's coming back to you.
Of all of the ones that we've gone through, that's my most confident one. How sad is that?
Well, especially if you really think they're going to start 3-0, why the hell wouldn't you? I mean,
And plus, he's a good coach. Like, he's not going to turn the corner for a couple of years because they're in such a hole, but he's not a bad coach. Like, I like Beatty.
The lowest I see of any team anywhere, I think, is 2.5.
Who's that?
Purdue. Is it 2.5?
Purdue.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't bet that one. see what we did there.
Yeah.
There were a couple more that were at 2.5. UTEP, UAB. There's a bad name in Iowa State sports.
I like the over for Kansas State.
What were they at?
I've pretty much been under for all Big 12. Here are your overs that I like. I like TCU and I like Kansas State for your overs.
So you're saying Kansas State wins 9, TCU wins 8.
Yep.
Okay.
I think TCU is the most underrated team in the league.
Who does K-State have at quarterback this year?
Jesse Ertz, the kid from Iowa.
Okay.
And then TCU, so they have Kenny Hill coming back. They have 17, 18 returning starters.
Kenny Thrill.
And look at this is what I like about TCU. I like their home games. A lot of their like tweener games that they need at home, they have at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, time will tell. We're getting close, man. Football officially starts next month. It's really only about month and a week away or so till first games.
Yeah.
Where are, just because I'm curious where you're coming up with them, where are Iowa State's six wins? Where are you getting them from?
Let's find it here. Hold on. Sorry, I had to get up really
that early morning golf, dude. Did you in? I told Gray the other day on our text chain, this is true, Gray's going to be asleep by probably 8 o'clock tonight because he's playing. He played with you.
Yeah.
On the hottest day of the year, one best shot, and now he's going to play another one.
Dude, that doesn't even sound remotely fun to me.
He loves golf. That dude loves golf.
I know, and good for him to have something you like so much, but God, I don't get it. Like, that's like he'll be on a golf course for like 10 hours today.
He's the guy that goes on the vacation because we were both in Mexico earlier this year, and he goes and golfs by himself, rents clubs, overpays just to go out and golf.
You've got to listen.
And you got the ocean and the beach right here.
I would rather ocean and beach it with a Corona any day.
No, he gets up early and puts on the khaki
shorts. I'm getting to the point where I like resent golf. No, I really do.
It's a time commitment.
Yeah, and it's so damn expensive.
By the time you get up, get ready, get in the car, go there, warm up, and you're home, it can easily be 6 hours.
I don't know where these guys find the time to play 5 hour rounds of golf 4 times a week.
Well, we all know Gray doesn't really work. I mean,
this is true.
Let's face it.
This is true.
He oversees some insurance agents or something. I mean, that's
what a
stroke fest.
He basically is babysitting what, 4 or 5 22-year-olds who think that they're going to be insurance moguls.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to be one of them, call Adam Gray.
Free advertising.
Yeah.
Okay. Iowa State.
Yeah. Where are the wins?
I'm on the record that I think they get Iowa this year.
Okay. At home, Iowa is down. So I agree with you. We should beat Iowa.
That's a good time to play Iowa this year with a new coordinator, with a new quarterback. You don't really have a proven receiver yet. Now, there's plenty about Iowa that bothers me.
Yeah.
That the fact that they have 5 returning offensive linemen, they have elite linebackers in the Big Ten.
Yep.
There's plenty of problems that they will give Iowa State.
Yep.
But I think if this is a year Iowa State wins this game, it's this year.
Okay.
I have Iowa State starting 3-0.
Okay.
With a win at Akron on the 16th. That's a game we should consider going to, taking a little
How far of a drive is Akron?
It's a long drive, but the flights are only like $300. It's not bad.
You know people. Get us a private plane. I'm there.
Well.
We'll see about that.
Okay. September 28th, Texas at home. I'm going to go loss, but I could see that being a win. Well, wait a second.
Has it been, a couple times in a row that we play Texas tight at home?
We always play Texas tight at home.
Okay.
We beat them 2 years ago.
Okay. So it's possible.
And, Herman really doesn't have a real grasp on that thing.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you get a new coach, you can't say you know what they're going to bring to the table.
This is a good time to get Texas.
Yeah.
I don't think Iowa State could draw it up a better time to play Texas.
It's safe to put that one in the loss column, but it could go 50-50.
That's as close to a 50-50 swing game, I think, as the schedule has.
Yeah. Sorry, Coach Campbell. We're not doubting you. It's just, hey, it's Texas. So
they have better players than we do.
No question.
They will lose at Oklahoma.
Yep.
3-2.
I agree.
Beat Kansas. 4-2.
4-2. I like it.
5-2 with the win at Texas Tech.
Well, there's no reason to think we won't based on last year. I mean, we stomped them. So, yeah. Man, can you imagine a 5-2 Iowa State?
I've got a loss to TCU on the 28th. That's another game, though, where
at their place?
No, that's in Ames. But we've seen a point spread, and it's really close.
Okay.
By the way, the line came out recently, and I haven't blogged about this yet, but I will. Iowa State opens as a 10-point favorite over Northern Iowa.
I think we win that game handily.
I think this year is the year that you do that too.
Yeah.
You need to.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay, so I've got them at 5-3 heading into at West Virginia, loss.
5-4.
Oklahoma State, loss.
5-5.
At Baylor, there's your 6.
So
you get Baylor on November 18th.
The season comes down to the Baylor game, the TCU game, and the West Virginia game.
And the Texas game.
You got to win one of those.
I don't think that West Virginia belongs in that. That they're a double-digit underdog in that game.
So out of all those games, Iowa State, how many times will we be favored?
Here's your
You and I and Akron were favored.
Kansas
for favorite. There's three. The Hawks will be very close.
The Hawks, it's all going to depend on what happens in week one.
Yeah.
I think best case is a pick 'em. At worst case, Iowa's a 5 to 7 point favorite.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if it was that high.
I don't think it will be either.
Yeah.
Especially with Iowa playing Wyoming in that first week. Mm-hmm. Unless they go out and really pace those guys.
Wyoming's got a great quarterback, though.
Yeah.
Lose that game.
They very well could. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that. My point is, if they're impressive in that first win,
yeah,
like that will turn some heads and maybe they buy a few points that way.
Yep.
But I mean, the season comes. There's these games: Iowa, Texas, Texas Tech, TCU, and Baylor.
I agree with that. I agree.
And that's assuming you beat Northern Iowa, Akron, and Kansas, games you should win.
I don't think this will have much of an impact, but I am interested to see, and it would be a good question for Campbell after this happens for a few games. And again, is it a big deal? No, but Iowa State is switching sides of the field this year. It's an interesting little tidbit because it's historically different than what they've done before. And I believe that they're doing it because they think it offers an advantage to them to do that. But will it play out that way? It'll look weird. I mean, you've been going to games forever up there. I've been going to games. It's going to take some getting used to see Iowa State on that side of the field. But I don't know if that's going to have any impact whatsoever on games.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. No. No, I think you're right.
I don't know. And in case anyone didn't know they're doing that.
Yeah, I think it's just classic coaching paranoia. Those guys are all so paranoid.
Stealing signals and all that stuff.
Every coach I've ever met is paranoid.
Yeah.
That's just the way they roll.
That's okay.
Some more than others.
It's okay. I think that we still got CNN.
What about the guy?
By the way, aren't you proud of me? I'm looking up at our TV. Not only was my laptop there, but look what channel we're watching.
CNN, real news.
Yeah, CNN's up there. Not Fox News. No. Drudge doesn't have a channel, so I can't turn to
Drudge. Otherwise, you'd be on the Drudge.
Can't turn to Drudge.
The Drudge television network.
Yeah.
And after he gets impeached here in a few months, you'll watch Trump's network when he makes one.
TNN, Trump News Network. Oh man, it might have been a mistake voting for him. We'll see what.
Well, happens. You live and you learn.
Yeah, well, I'll get it right next time. I'm gonna vote for Kid Rock next cycle. Oh, it's gonna be a mess. I love it.
Good podcast today, Mark. I feel like this is very enjoyable.
Oh, you're just happy to be inside in some air conditioning, yeah, man.
And just got me a Diet Coke right here. I'm not doing radio today because I got to go back home. And I got the daycare. When the daycare is not in session,
yeah.
I mean, it just is a – it's such a – it just screws up your life so much.
Oh, yeah.
No, because, every routine you have is, just shot.
I hear you. What would you do if you had an employee, by the way, that constantly fights with you over the temperature of the office?
Since I pay the rent, do I get to decide? I'd say who's paying the bills.
All right.
Do you have a disgruntled employee?
Is it improper to tell certain employees to maybe bring a sweater in case they get too cold?
Because I think it's hot in here.
It is. So there's a temperature difference out there to here of probably at least 2 to 3 degrees. Something about the air circulation. It just happened. So I come in every day. And it's 76. That's what the thermostat's set at.
That's too
and
hot.
I turn it down to 74, which feels somewhat comfortable.
Yeah, it's too hot.
And then I'll go back out there and it's been turned back up to 76. Like some magic elf fairy is just turning it up every time I touch it.
Oh, and then you're just running it constantly.
I know.
She doesn't pay for the electricity.
I know. Well, yeah, so before she knew that, I think maybe she was trying to save me a few bucks, which is admirable. Like, we don't need to rent it clothes, but it's part of the rent.
Katie's upset. All right, Mark, you've got a muscle up you got to go do.
They're easy, right?
So just real quick, because I know inside jokes don't play well on the radio.
Yeah.
Mark, Katie here posted a photo of her, and very impressively, by the way, doing a ring muscle up.
But she was doing it, like a kip
at the,
something.
At the local CrossFit gym. That's impressive.
She was doing one where she swings.
It doesn't matter if you kip or not. To do a muscle up, it's impressive.
Okay.
It's an impressive feat of any any sense. And Mark arrogantly goes onto her page and is like, oh, I could do that with one hand tied behind my back.
Not exactly true, but yeah.
So I said
I can do a strict one, means that no swinging.
The lovely Katie's took him up on that, and she's taking him into Jeff Woody's CrossFit gym just down the street. That happens next.
So I've never done a muscle-up in my life. It's basically hanging from rings.
I don't think you can do a paddle.
Pulling yourself up. So you got to do a pull-up.
When's the last time you did a pull-up?
Years.
Yeah.
Years. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if you went in and trained for a couple months, like, you'd be fine.
Oh, that would be a no-brainer, dude. I weighed myself last night, and I was dressed with no shoes on. I weighed 206.6 pounds. So basically, I got to pull 206 pounds up on these shaky little rings and then twist my hands somehow and then do a push-up from there. And I only have to do one of them. Sounds pretty easy in theory, but I've never tried.
Do me a favor.
Have you ever tried one?
Oh, yeah. And I've gotten to the point where I could do one for a while.
Were you swinging to do it, or were you trying to do
that? Yeah, I was, like, kipping and stuff. So,
okay.
Like, it's hard. It's not... Like, I do, like, when everybody else is doing muscle-ups, I've learned that I'm kind of like the old man now, so I just do pull-ups instead.
Yeah.
Because I get so much more out of doing 10 pull-ups than I do doing, just struggling to do one muscle-up. It's just not worth it for me.
So do you do pull-ups, like, on a bar? Just a pull-up bar?
Yeah.
How many can you do?
But I kip. I don't do the straight pull-ups.
Okay.
Like,
just straight. If you had to start from a hanging motion, how many pull-ups could you do where your chin's above the bar?
Oh, in a row?
Yeah.
15 to 20, probably.
Yeah.
It's all about, like, technique and stuff. Like, when you're doing it the way that you do it in those things, it's...
Yeah.
Like, that sounds, like, super impressive, but it's really not once you learn the technique of it.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is just, like, the breathing and stuff, like, continuing to just go.
Yeah. I think that...
That's for me, at least.
Yeah. Like I said...
You have to... When you go into these CrossFit gyms, like, it's so hard to not...
Before you go out the door.
Yeah, you got to just... Like, zero ego whatsoever, and just you're kind of like building a house from
because you look stupid. Is that why?
Yeah, and like the thing is, it's like half the people in there are like elite athletes.
Yeah,
and I'm not an elite athlete. I know that. So like, everybody like half these people are in there to like try and like set. I'm just for survival. Okay.
Yeah.
So I can drink Busch Light on the weekends. Like that's why I'm in there.
I offered you one today. You turned it down.
Yeah. No, I got to drive to Clarinda after this.
Yeah. Say hi to the folks in Clarinda at the Shittily D.
I'm going to the Shittily D tonight.
Are
you? Yeah. A little bit of a reunion of sorts tonight at the Shittily D.
You going
to
light that bar on fire?
Man, you know, the guy who used to own it and light the bar on fire doesn't own it anymore.
That sucks.
So I feel like the tradition...
That died with him?
Yeah.
That blows.
It's kind of a bum deal.
Someday, eventually, I'll get down to the Shittily D. I want to play this course you talk about down there, too.
Oh, yeah. I will send you a photo from the Shittily D tonight.
Okay. The Morton Building.
Yeah.
Shittily D.
Yeah.
What was the other one? The Ice House?
Yeah, the Ice House.
Do you go there ever?
The Ice House?
Yeah.
The Ice House is actually nice.
So it depends on your mood.
Like, the Ice House could be, like, in Ankeny.
Does the Shittily D have air conditioning?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
I picture a typical Morton Building with, like, just hot flies buzzing
it's
around.
It's great, man. You'd love it. Like, you really would. Like.
Oh, man, I don't know. One thing at a time. I've already been convinced by you guys I need to go to Knoxville Nationals. So,
are you going to do that with me this year?
Well, Kendall's from there, right?
Yeah.
So you guys were talking the one time. So she knows the lay of the land over there. You love it. So if everybody kind of went together, I think it'd be kind of fun.
It's funny because my wife and I were kind of planning out like weekends until the rest of the summer.
Yeah.
And I was like, August 12th, like you plan nothing for me. That is, I don't ask for many days to just do what I want to do.
Yeah,
that is truly one of my top three favorite days of the year.
And
I got the tradition down.
What's the name of their bar over there?
Dingus.
The Dingus.
The Dingus Lounge.
That's awesome. That's a good
what thing. I do every year is we go to the go-kart track for a while.
Yeah.
And we turn some laps.
Yeah.
And then we go to Peachtree, the brewery.
Yeah.
Sit there for about 2-3 hours at Peachtree and just... Because I go with my racing buddies, right? So we're just telling racing stories from the last, like, 30 years of our lives.
Yeah.
It's great. And then we go to Dingus, seeing the amateurs Like the amateur sprint car fans, they're the ones who will go into the races like early to watch them all. Not me. I go in at like the C feature. I just go in for the main event.
Is this like – this is all dirt track stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the ones where they're kind of like
you need to,
fishtailing the whole time.
If you do go with me, we need to have a talk about your wardrobe before we go.
I'm going to dress like Adam Gray on a golf course. That's what I'm going to do. I don't own jorts, dude. What do you expect me to do?
I don't wear jorts. I wear jeans. I wear jeans, boots, and a t-shirt.
It's August, though. It might be hot.
Yeah. Well, we'll find some slacks for you.
I don't know. If Kendall will be down there, too. She can throw in her tips on the proper dress code that's down there.
The best thing to do, though, is you tweet, like, hey, I'm at Knoxville. Anybody here?
Yeah.
And there's always four or five guys. And then, and that's what's fun, because then they're, like, at campers, and you just go and hang out with them.
Yep.
Like, you run by Hy-Vee, you grab a 12-pack, and then you just go and hang out with, like, just random people, and then you start mixing it up with all the campers. Oh, my God, it's fun. Just, you got to have a DD.
Well, shout-out to the dingus and to the shittily D. Feel free to subscribe to this podcast since they're paying us for these plugs, and I'm sure it'll be fun.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, we'll see you next week.
All right.